Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. I'm your host, Rick McCann, broadcasting live today from Studio A of our Charlotte, North Carolina corporate office. A lot happening, so sit back, strap in, and enjoy today's episode. Everyone, and welcome to this morning's edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. I'm your host, Rick McCann, founder and CEO of Private Officer International. Glad that you are joining us from wherever you might be, whether it's in your living room, in your vehicle, in Paris. Wish I was with you. We have a lot of listeners in many foreign countries. Please send us an email, helpdesk@privateofficer.com, and let us know that you have joined in on the radio show and that you're listening either while it's streaming or live or by podcast. Remember, our radio shows are available wherever you get your music or listen to your podcasts, as well as here on our own radio show platform, our website, and numerous other locations. If you can't find it, just send it. Email to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Well, this morning, like so many other times, we have a weather alert. I'm sure that if you live in the western part of our country here, you've already heard and probably experienced quite a weather shift. A major storm now making its way across the country, dumping upwards of 3 feet of snow in some areas, Colorado, Utah, Montana, and the Midwest, while in other areas bringing severe tornadoes, heavy rains, flooding, and just a whole bunch of mess. I tell you this early on because we want you to be prepared. One of the things that we try to do here with our radio show is to make sure that we're informative, not only with the news and what's happening in our industry, but also the weather, different situational alerts, information that we get from law enforcement nationwide, and we try to pass that all on to you for situational awareness purposes, for safety purposes, and we want to make sure that everybody has a heads up, an alert in advance so that you can prepare. I talk many times about having go bags and make sure that you have one just for the weather, whether that's galoshes and rainwear, or winter clothing, blankets, water, whatever. You're definitely going to need it. Be heads up this week. Several storms already hitting in the upper region of the Pacific, dropping some heavy snow and making its way now currently across the country. We're definitely staying on top of it, and we want you to as well. We'll send out news alerts accordingly. If you're not already receiving our news alerts, go to our website at privateofficer.org, privateofficer.org. A little box will drop down. You can put in your info. We don't sell it. We don't trade it. We don't give it away. You're not going to be spammed. You're going to get only the information that you are requesting. While you're there, if you're not already a member of Private Officer International, be sure, I was going to say something else, but I mean, really, it is really important that you become part of the association and that you really participate, not only be a member with a plaque or a certificate on the wall, but that you participate in all of the many, many, many things that are happening here at Private Officer International. Remember, go to privateofficer.org. You can sign up today. Right now, we got a $99 special. Sign up. I just got an email a short time ago. We are sponsoring through Armory College our Police Citizens Academy, and we're having a great time in week one. We'll be in week two here tomorrow, and many people already commenting how enjoyable, informative that it's been. The email I just received asking to please be able to sign up for this because they are a member of POI, and I apologize, but that window has closed. We will do another one in the fall, and then every spring and every fall from here on until the end of my time on this earth, we will be doing that. It is really a great, great thing, a great outreach that we have started. We've had a lot of participants, well over 50 people signed up, another 10 or so looking to be part of it in the next one that we have in the fall. Remember, don't miss it. 15 weeks of great news and information being taught by various law enforcement officers who are currently still on the job, if you can believe that. They haven't all walked off. They're not on strike. Many police officers still out there doing the job, wearing the badge, making a difference. And I'm happy to say that I am one of those and will continue to do so as long as I possibly can. I told someone about a month ago I'll probably be 90 and still on the job, and they'll be pushing me out, but we'll see what happens. Speaking about resources and joining POI for all the great training and benefits, right now, whether you're a member of our organization or not, you can sign up if you're a supervisor or a manager, public safety, loss prevention, security, campus security, law enforcement. You can sign up right now. Send an email to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. You can sign up right now for our supervisors and managers network group and a lot of training, a lot of information. We are networking with more than 2,500 news sites across the country. We get another maybe 30 contacts and emails daily from other organizations. We're also networked with federal law enforcement and many government entities, being a multi-business owner myself, as well as some of the other members here. We get a lot of training information, HR updates, and things like that through various organizations, state and federal agencies as well. So we want to pass along as much of this information to our new supervisors and managers, networking club, I guess you can say, organization, group, whatever. So if you want to be part of that, just send us an email. We'll send you a link how to become part of that. We have some exciting news about something coming up along the Gulf Coast. We're going to clue you in here right after the first break. Be sure, if you haven't already, that you go to Armor College, take advantage of some of the specials that are going on right now. A lot of training being done online, although many companies and ourselves are returning to classroom style training. And so you can take advantage. If you are in Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Alabama, Mississippi, just about any place in the Southern Hemisphere, and you need regulatory training, you are an armed security officer, private investigator, or you want to take regulatory training, you want to become a PI or a bail bonds or security, contact helpdesk at armor, A-R-M-O-U-R, college.org, armor college, helpdesk at A-R-M-O-U-R, college.org. We have all of that regulatory stuff. We have networking instructors. We have our own campuses, and we're able to do some of it online. So contact us. helpdesk@armorcollege.org. I hate to leave on a sad note, but this past week, a security officer did commit suicide in Texas on the job in uniform. And we know of at least one other suicide that occurred this year so far. It is tragic. And we try to reach out as much as we can. We really need you. We need you to contact us about what's happening in your area. You find out that a security officer's committed suicide, or you find out that there's been a shooting, campus security, or whatever there might be, please send us an alert so that we can look into it. We can use it for training. We can notify our members. Be part of the organization. Speaking with a friend of mine the other day in California. He said, if we're not the solution, who will be? If we're not the solution, who will be? Today's topic is going to be about something unique. We don't talk a whole lot about electronic security, but today we will be talking about electronic security, how that pairs together with physical uniform security, how we're seeing more and more dual operations of security companies, and we'll be bringing back a whole lot more coming up right after the first break. Don't go away.
Can we be real for a minute? I'm a high school math teacher, and I'm a firefighter.
Man, we're going to have you out in just a minute, okay?
I'm a designer.
I'm a retired VP in business.
And I'm a student.
I'm a mother.
I'm a business analyst, and I'm a volunteer firefighter.
You thought we just fought fire?
Firefighters get trained to do so many things.
Right here. Get sharp.
What we do is serious business.
Three quarters of the nation's first responders are volunteers. That includes here in Connecticut. And lately, it's been harder than ever with fewer citizens volunteering.
From teenage cadets like me
to seasoned veterans like me.
So what are you waiting for?
You ready to make a difference?
Ready to join our team?
Your community needs you. We need you. Visit everydayherocg.org or stop by your local firehouse today and take the first step of joining your fire department.
If you're not already receiving breaking news and our bi-weekly newsletter, Officer Don reports, and discount training news in your personal or business email, then go to our website right now at privateofficer.org. Privateofficer.org. A Dropbox will come down. Just fill out your info, and you'll be the first, one of the first, for sure, to know about what's happening in the security industry. You'll know when a security officer is killed. You'll also get these great discounts on training and equipment and so much more. privateofficer.org. And if you're not already a member of the Private Officer International Association, sign up while you're there today. Become a lifetime member for just $99, and we'll also include a free Private Officer International patch and lapel pin. If you A very tragic homicide, murder of a very large, well-known casino hotel complex in Las Vegas occurred during this past week. We are saddened, to say the least, about the occurrences of what went down. It was unpredictable, but I do believe, as we are studying right now with our National Public Safety and Security Institute team, there are things that we can definitely do to make our workplace safer, to make our security officers better prepared and safer on the job. And this is one of those tragic situations that really shows how a couple of different things that could have been done may have saved this security officer's life. Wynn Casinos and Hotel Resort in Las Vegas, one of the most well-known, wealthiest, largest resorts there along the strip. At 5:45 p.m. last week, security was alerted when an employee who had not come to work for several days used his key card to access the parking garage. Their security dispatch immediately dispatched a security officer to investigate to see what was happening and, you know, who it was, whether or not it was the employee. And when the security officer arrived, and like I said, this is really, really, really tragic. I don't know that it was 100% preventable, but it was definitely tragic. When the security officer arrived, and according to law enforcement, the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police, they gave props to the Wynn Casino Resort security, saying it's top notch, one of the best, if not the best, on this. They have really well-trained officers. They are very responsive, very much part of Las Vegas police safety and security net that they have along the strip. Yosef Almonte, 31, the security officer was there like in a snap. No time at all, they said. That must have shocked the employee that had not shown up for work for numerous days. No one can explain the next chain of events. I've looked at it from a number of different ways, and I have to tell you, I don't get it. No one has come up with an answer. But what happened next was this employee, seeing the uniformed security officer, immediately got from his vehicle and began opening fire on the unarmed security officer, killing him right there on the spot. The 31-year-old Marine veteran, by all accounts, one of the nicest guys, one of the best loved professional. There was no reason to shoot, no reason to kill. He was the 20th security officer killed so far this year. We're now actually 21 because another one has been killed in the last 24 hours. But then, the even more unthinkable, the suspect killed himself right there in the garage. No one has been able to figure this out. It is an unbelievable scenario. You could not have scripted this any better for a movie, but sadly, it is real life. And this security officer lost his life for what? For nothing. This has been the theme for quite some time. Partly the fault of the employer, because the employers know the dangers. And now, just this weekend, the manager, general manager, president of the resort said, we're going to equip our officers with body armor. A little late. Maybe it'll save someone else. I've been talking about the crime in Las Vegas for the last year and how they actually had to put a special group of law enforcement on the strip during the opening after COVID, and even up until this point, because of all the shootings occurring along the strip and at the casinos, all of the violent crimes, and now that someone's lost their life, body armor might be issued? Wynn Hotel Casino Resort says they hope it catches on with others along the strip. Well, I hope so too. We have been talking about this with our team and with the newly put together think tank, the National Public Safety Security Institute, about how to keep our people safe. Well, body armor definitely is one of them. How about arming those people that's really in harm's way every single day? Here's another story that just came out Friday. A security officer, unknown if he was armed or unarmed, but we do have information that he was unarmed. I don't know that for a fact. Jacksonville, Florida, a bank security officer, this past week on Wednesday, he was actually at a credit union, is there in the credit union. I don't know if he just didn't have good situational awareness, or he didn't have time to run, or he didn't have time to pull his weapon. I don't know. What I do know is the Vistar Credit Union at 7795 103rd Street in Jacksonville, Florida, a man with a rifle and a pistol walked into the credit union, immediately put it to the head of the security officer. Even if he was armed under these conditions, I don't think he could have drawn his weapon and gotten the round off without being killed. So he played it cool, and he lived. Dontavius Devon Adair was arrested after a police chase and a car crash where police actually smashed into him on purpose to pin him against a wall. He was arrested. He's been charged with attempted murder of a police officer, armed robbery, shooting deadly missiles, fleeing an officer, reckless driving, and more. Thank goodness there's no bail, no bond, no way out. But very, 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 very scary situation. Listen to this part. After this whole pursuit, and they finally got him in custody, an 8-year-old girl steps out of the vehicle. This is not only a police chase going however miles an hour they were going, but this is a on purpose crash that law enforcement smashed into him to pin him at, you know, probably 60, 70 miles an hour. And here an 8-year-old girl, 8 years old, was in the back seat the whole time. If you don't think that violence has gone up, if you don't think that being in this security industry is deadly, you're not living in reality. You're living in outer space, under a rock someplace. Who knows? But you're not in today's world. It is violent. 21 security officers murdered this year, 40 last year, and COVID shut everything down. Not as many security officers were working. Not as many businesses were open. But guess what? Security officers, police officers were still killed. And we're not talking about COVID. We're talking about gun down. 130 security officers in California have died of COVID, according to a new report by the publication The Guardian. We've been able to work with them and another reporter. They verified it in California. They said a lack of PPE was essentially one of the issues, not getting information out to security personnel and letting them know what it was and how to prevent it and how to stay clean and all that other stuff. That's another reason. This is 2021, not 1921 or 1941 or 1971 or even 1991. This day and age, our security personnel better be trained and equipped like they were in law enforcement or the military, or you're going to see these numbers triple. Look at the murders of security officers in South Africa, India, some of the African nations, the UK, other places, even Australia, security officers gunned down. In the last few recent years, Canada, security officers being killed, and that was almost never. They got assaulted, they were injured, sometimes they were shot, but now we are seeing security officers murdered in Canada regularly. Remember, you and only you can protect you. If your company doesn't give you body armor, find a way to afford it. Give up some things. Put it on layaway. Yes, they do allow that at some places. Get payments on it. Do something. If you really fear for your life, don't work at the assignment. Don't work on the job. If security is too dangerous, and it really is, and you're not well equipped, you're not well trained, Find something else, because I'm telling you, before we go to our next break, a friend of mine said something that just floored me this weekend. He said, I have a contract, apartment complex that's really rough, and my best friend who works for me, I told him, I'm going to pull him out and I'm going to put him someplace else. And I don't know if I should feel bad about this or not. He said, because I'm afraid he's going to get killed. I'm afraid that my friend is going to get killed. And Jerry almost broke down and was almost in tears when he said that. Because he took his friend out, but he put someone else there who might get killed. We're living in dangerous, dangerous, dangerous times. Dangerous times. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio. We'll be right back.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, Doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this state.
When you're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector right here on the Private Officer Radio Network. Now don't go away, because we are coming right back when we've got a whole lot more right here on the Private Officer Beat Radio. A very tragic homicide, murder of a... Welcome back to the Private Officer B Radio. I'm your host, Rick McCann. A friend of mine, a very dear friend, and he doesn't like publicity, and he deserves it. Hiram Libby, the owner of Valiant Security, this past week, called me up. Well, he donated some money first, and then called me up and he said, look, I'm donating some money because you had an article last week about two security officers that rescued a resort guest who was unconscious and in a swimming pool. And he said, I want these two security officers to be recognized, which we were already trying to reach the appropriate persons at that location. He said, I want them to be recognized, but more than that, I want to offer this money so that they can take additional training online at Armour College and further their career. Mike Griffin and Chris Wren, security employees at Mount Blue Resort Casino and Spa in Stateline, Nevada, immediately put their skills to work and saved a man who was in distress, and they gave him CPR. Mr. Libby said that he had stayed there not too long before that, him and his family, and it could have been his daughter in distress or worse. And he wanted these officers recognized, and so do we. We have made contact with the security director for the resort, and they are elated, surprised, but happy, and have agreed to an in-person presentation, which we're going to arrange coming up. And we'll have more information about that. Pictures. Make sure that you follow us on social media. I know a lot of people don't use Facebook anymore, but that really is a platform that we use a lot, where we get a lot of attention. Twitter, go to them. If you want that information, send us an email. But Mr. Libby is just a great guy. He has a great company. And if you live out there in the San Jose Valley area, San Jose region, contact him, because he is not only a great guy, but a great employer, and he pays very well, and he's got some fantastic benefits, and I'm giving him this plug because I do think that he is all of that. And if you know someone that needs to be rewarded, contact us, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. You don't have to be an association member. Let us know what's happening. If you want to award your worker, your coworker, your employer, yourself, or a police officer or a security officer at another company, we want to recognize them. Send us an email, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Remember, if you need body armor, and we were just talking about that, who doesn't need body armor, contact our friends right now at Body Armor USA. We've got what it takes to protect you. And it's not just body armor. They've got protective clothing, stab-resistant vests, protective gloves, and different protective wear for corrections, private security, law enforcement. It does not matter. Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. We're going to take a quick break. When I come back, I've got a lot more to say, obviously. Remember, you can also stream our radios on iHeartRadio Network anytime from anywhere that you are. iHeartRadio Network, and of course, wherever you download your podcast, music, or other internet programs. Also, don't be in the background. If you're a POI member, we've been telling you for weeks, we really do need your support for so many things. Please, please step out, make a difference. I just told you about the member who said, if we don't care, if we don't step up, who will? Who will step up? This week, we're talking about electronic security alarms, how they work, why there's so many false alarms, how you can be proactive in that industry, maybe even partner with a nearby alarm company, maybe even start your own alarm business. We have a lot of information about that. Be sure to contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We're coming right back. You are listening to Private Officer Beat Radio.
You wouldn't think the cafeteria would be a scary place.
There are 5.9 million kids in the U.S. living with food allergies.
It happens to me on the school bus.
And a third of kids with food allergies are bullied because of it. Right now, we're working on a cure for food allergies. Until then, there is a cure for food allergy bullying. You. Go to foodallergy.org to teach your kid about the seriousness of food allergies.
If I'm not at school, I can't get bullied.
Food allergy bullying. It's not a joke.
Without this woman, my father couldn't have had his hip replaced.
Without these people, I'd be dead.
This man helped my son through leukemia.
Do something amazing. Give blood.
right, welcome back to this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. Oh my goodness, we're at the 15th of March, the middle of the month. Of course, we do want to give a shout out and say Happy Saint, Irish Day. Yeah, the luck of the Irish on the 17th. All of you who are Irish, you're pretend to be Irish on that day so you can go out and party. Have a happy and very safe St. Paddy's Day. We have a lot of other things happening in the news. I want to give a big shout out as well to Brian Metterhan just got info that over the weekend he also saved a person by committing, by using CPR, and we'll be making contact with him as well. So much happening in the news. If you want to see our daily news blog, the update of all the news happening in the security public safety industry, go to our blog every day, privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com, privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com, every day, 7 days a week. We don't miss a beat. Many times people ask us, how do you do it? How can you keep track? How do you stay on top? How do you keep everything going fresh? No repeats. I mean, it is a big job, and we do have a small staff, but we are committed to training, to educating, to providing the news, the information, and the services for our members and others in the field, and that's why we do it. You can also go to our magazine, privateofficernews.org, privateofficernews.org. We also update the news there along with various other stories and radio shows and just a whole lot more that comes from there. We want to give a big shout out to our friend John over at Premier Training Academy, the premier place to go for security officer training. If you're looking for PPS or SLED training, be sure to call 704-806-4933. That's in the Charlotte metropolitan South Carolina region, 704-806-9933. Let them know that Private Officer International sent you his way. He has a lot more training besides security. They offer firearms training, self-defense, first aid, CPR, and a whole lot more. I told you just a few minutes ago about the violence in the security industry, but I neglected to tell you about another security officer who was killed, murdered, gunned down at 2:13 Saturday morning. The off-duty deputy sheriff from Cayuga County, Ohio, Timothy Cruz, 27, was working security at a nightclub, the Rookies Sports Bar and Grill in Parma, which is a suburb right outside the city limits there of Cleveland, Ohio. When he had an interaction with a person causing a problem, he told the person that he had to leave. The person walked into the parking lot, got a gun, began shooting. The officer was able to return fire. Both the man and Timothy Cruz, the security officer, were killed. This is number 23 security officers killed in the line of duty since the beginning of the year. It is crazy, and that's putting it mildly. It is crazy the violence that we're seeing, the level of in increasing attacks on security, just like law enforcement. We're not out of the woods by any imagination. We're actually just getting into the thick of it as security is being used more and more and more for enforcement purposes, law enforcement purposes. Many jobs and tasks now would have been done by law enforcement, but now we're seeing security getting further and further involved. Later today, I'm going to be talking about electronic security and how that's playing a role in our everyday physical security environment. And we have a really good online course about electronic security, how alarms work, how to use them in your industry. Go to our sister company, armorcollege.org, A-R-M-O-U-R, college.org, to find out more or send us an email. You can send it to POI at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Also in the news this past week, Albuquerque International Airport security on patrol, they smell something funny from a vehicle in the long-term parking area. And lo and behold, security finds not one dead body, not two dead bodies, not three dead bodies, but four dead people in that vehicle, stuffed in the vehicle. 47-year-old Michael Dabowski. 66-year-old, correction, Michael Dabowski was later tracked down by the U.S. Marshals and arrested for five different murders across the state that began in Missouri. And this person even killed an ex-girlfriend and four others. This was a very gruesome find. We just told you last week during our program where another group of security officers in multiple states also found the victims of homicide, and they also wrapped up four different dead bodies last week, but this time one very alert. This security officer obviously took his job serious. Most people would just say, must be a dead rat around here someplace or some animal died nearby. But he didn't. He took it a couple of steps further, began investigating, and found that the deceased bodies of Matthew Miller, Justin Mata, Randall Appleston, and Jennifer Lannon, who was the ex-wife, not the ex-girlfriend, of the suspect. The security officer really did a wonderful, wonderful job. We also told you that in Las Vegas, sadly, a security officer at the Wynn Hotel and Resort was murdered. We got a news alert this morning that over the weekend, friends and employees of that resort came together to honor the security officer, Yosefi Almonte, 31, and they have put together a GoFundMe page. As of this past weekend, they had raised more than $80,000, and that is just fantastic. Obviously, anytime that we can support our fellow law enforcement or private security, we really need to do that. Please go to our website at privateofficer.org. Go to the Officer Down page. There is a link to click on and donate to the Benevolent Fund. We really need your support financially and every other way. Also this week in Nashville, Tennessee, a police officer responding there to a shoplifting at a store was shot multiple times. Officer Josh Baker, a 14-year veteran of the Nashville Metropolitan Police Department, an agency I know intimately. I lived there in the metro Nashville area for many, many years, 15 years altogether, and love it. And they've got a great police department. But again, this just shows what can happen very quickly. And another police officer was shot at a retail store, this one in Omaha. Police there were sent to a JCPenney store in a mall where security had stopped the man for shoplifting. During interactions inside the security office, the man resisted. He fought with police, and eventually he shot the security officer, the police officer in the head and the face and escaped. This is, again, a real example of how loss prevention, who make more than 1.5 million stops for shoplifting, internal theft, fraud, credit card fraud, check fraud, how they put themselves on the line every day. This police officer is expected to make a full recovery, thank God. In La Crosse, Wisconsin, a man there, Timothy Young, he pled guilty to a murder of yet another security officer. This happened in July of last year. Timothy Young pled guilty to first-degree intentional murder of Anthony Fimple, the security officer. He'll spend the rest of his life in prison. I don't know what else to do to get people to understand, including security company owners, the seriousness, the violence, the intentional assault and injury to security personnel, private police officers today. If you are listening and you're a supervisor, a manager, a owner, you need to get on the ball. We need to protect our people and do a much better job at it than we are. Police in Davidson County, North Carolina, a suburb of Charlotte, said they tracked a school-issued computer. This is something that the school issued to all of their students. They tracked a kidnapped 14-year-old girl. She had communicated with her abductor through the school-issued device. Davidson County Sheriff Richie Simons said it was his forensic investigators that was able to track down where this girl was. She was kidnapped. 38-year-old William Robert Ice fired shots as police began to approach in Arkansas. They found the person in Arkansas, but police now say this all resulted from the 14-year-old school child communicating on a school computer with this unknown subject who eventually kidnapped her. Law enforcement are saying that they not only can sniff out drugs and weapons and dead bodies, but now Latin America's crime-fighting police dogs say they've been trained to detect COVID-19 in multiple countries, including El Salvador. They say that their dogs can immediately hit on the aromas of the sweat of a person infected with the virus, and that they can detect it just like any drug from feet away, and that it is working. In Europe, they also have had many police departments train their dogs to do the same thing. And in Miami, police dogs there have been trained as well and recently used at a basketball game. And there were some definite hits as well. In Pennsylvania, the security company Paragon Systems, which is owned by Securitas, they've got some problems. A security officer arbitrated to be rehired after he was fired. Robert Ruther said that he was fired for misconduct when really it wasn't to the level of being fired. After an arbitration awarded him his job back, Paragon has refused to hire him back, and now another lawsuit has been filed. and the UGSOA, which is a security union, has backed this lawsuit. So we'll be following that. And, you know, when you have an arbitration and they order the person to be rehired and back wages paid, you're only looking for a lawsuit if you don't follow that decision, because arbitration is to avoid lawsuit. But if you don't adhere to that settlement, then you are definitely going to be facing a lawsuit. One final note here in the news, which I just find astounding and unbelievable. At the Joint Base Andrews, which is in Maryland, authorities there say a man roamed the joint base wearing red, a bright red or pink cap and mouse ears. He walked around and on and off airplanes, military planes, throughout the military base without being noticed for 5 hours. Investigators say the security officers, which are federal officers, were distracted, but they're not saying by what. Were they sleeping? Were they watching a movie? We don't know, but we are looking further into this. Eventually, the person was noticed, and the unarmed intruder caught aboard a C-40 transport jet. I think this is outrageous myself. It is just not a poor lapse of security. It's an intentional lapse of security. Remember, if you need body armor, Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. Go to their website, Body Armor USA. We're coming right back, folks. Don't go away.
When I was a gang leader, we probably did business together. Because when people like you buy knockoffs on the street, often the money goes to gangs. And gangs use this easy money for other activities. In other words, they're getting a lot of bang for their buck.
Counterfeits hurt, but you have the power to stop them. Go to www.ncpc.org/get real. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance, U.S. Department of Justice.
The Federal Aviation Administration wants you to fly your drone responsibly. Avoid flying your drone near other aircraft, especially near airports. Fly your drone below 400 feet. Always keep your drone in sight. If you see a safety issue involving drones, contact local law enforcement immediately. Fly smart. Fly safe. Have fun.
This week on the Private Officer Beat Radio, we're talking about a subject that we don't usually get into. We kind of stay within the uniform service area of private security and law enforcement, but this week we want to talk about electronic security, how it really interfaces with uniform security services, law enforcement, public safety, campus security. Almost everybody is touched by this area of the security industry. Yes, electronic security service is part of the security industry. It may not be a part that you play, may not be a part that you really participate much in. Maybe you don't own anything electronic. Maybe your company doesn't respond to alarms. Maybe you don't really have a whole lot of knowledge of electronic security. And so that's why we're spending a few minutes today on this particular course. Now, electronic security is a highly regulated area of the security industry, just like uniform security and patrol services in most states. Not all, but in most states. So agencies regulate, I know, let's take Virginia, for instance, DCJS, which regulates all of the uniform security. PI, private investigator, bail enforcement, bail bonds, and they oversee all the law enforcement as well. But They also oversee the electronic security services in the area. When we talk about electronic security, we're talking about four different areas of the electronic security business. Number one, we're talking about the electronic security technician. That's the person who installs the alarm. Electronic security sales representatives, the person who goes out door to door and sells the alarm. Electronic security central dispatchers, those are the people who sit behind the computers and they take those alarm calls that come into their call center and they dispatch them out. We also have electronic security instructors, regulators, and others that are all part of the electronic security industry. Now, in some states, one of the conflicting areas that I have been in the middle of for years, private security, whether that be a uniformed security officer, an electronic security company, or a bail bonds, bail enforcement, or even a private investigator, is not licensed. There's no license whatsoever. You can begin today, no problem. Just go out and start telling people that you own a security alarm business and you can start slamming them against the wall, hooking them up, you know, and that's not good business. There's a big advantage to being licensed and regulated. Obviously, it's like the shade tree mechanic. He might be good at what he does. He might be pretty cheap. Much cheaper than the, you know, the guys who have brick and mortar locations and employees that they have to take care of. But in the long run, are they really worth it? Because what happens if your vehicle kabooms down the road, leaving his parking lot, leaving his home? Are you going to be covered? Is he going to take care of those problems, or do you have to sue him? When you're dealing with a licensed business, whether that be, you know, an auto dealer, an electrician, a plumber, whatever it might be, when you're dealing with these people who are regulated, licensed, insured, you're almost guaranteed that if you do have a problem and they don't take care of it, that you're going to be able to have some type of recourse. That's why good, legitimate businesses advertise, licensed, bonded, insured. They want you to know they're not some shade tree mechanic, that they are playing by the rule. And, you know, in any business, it adds credibility, it adds trust, it adds people really respect businesses that are playing by the rules, licensed, have people that are trained. There's a lot of industries that are actually licensed. Did you know that nurses have to be licensed? They have to be licensed in every state that they work. Paramedics and EMTs, I have to be licensed in every single state that I'm going to practice. Attorneys, same thing. They have to be licensed in every state that they're going to practice. Doctors, contractors, electricians, plumbers. Did you know that police officers have to be licensed? It's called POST. Peace officer, standard training. Firefighters, did you know that? They also have to be certified. Some people don't like the process, to be honest with you. Some people don't want to be governed. They don't want to have to abide by the rules. They don't want to have to pay the fees. They don't want to have to go through all those things. There's good and bad to everything, but I am one to stand with the good here, to be licensed, regulated, and it really plays a part. That all being said, we want to talk about the actual alarm itself. Many people really do not know the physical ins and outs of how an alarm works and how it affects us. How many of you have responded to activated burglar alarms? Yeah, of course, most of us have. Whether that be in our job as a security officer, working down at the local school, the campus, working with the police department. There are tens of thousands and millions of electronic security devices nationwide. Let's talk about that for a second. So, when you think about electronic security, are you thinking about that burglar alarm that doesn't work half the time at your house? Or are you looking at the cameras that businesses across the country have added by the tens and thousands and probably millions again over the past few years? Are you thinking about access control, having to swipe your card to get into a building or an office, or keypad, punch in your numbers to be able to gain access into your apartment complex at the gate there? There's a lot of different devices that fall under the electronic security industry. And, a lot of people don't really understand too well how they work. Hey, let me give you something that you can use maybe as a trivia question. Did you know that electronic security alarms are not new? No, they've actually been around since 1850 when Boston inventor Augustus Russell Pope discovered how to use electricity and magnets and connect it with the bell to create an early version of a modern burglar alarm. Now, listen to this. He did get a patent, by the way, in 1853. But prior to that, geese were used in the front yard to quack, quack, and make a racket to alert the homeowner that somebody was on the property. We've come a long, long way. In fact, there are so many new electronic security devices popping up that it's hard to keep a handle on it. Have you heard what's happening in the industrial world and the technology world? Chips are being embedded under the skin of their well-paid executives to be used as access control. They just have to swipe their hand and voila, they're in. The chip is very similar to if you've ever had your animal chip, your dog, your cat. If you've had a chip, it's just you have a needle, it slides right under the top layer of the skin. It's very small and it's not really too invasive. And this is so that people who are high executives worth a lot of money don't have to worry about keypads or cards, losing their key card or having it stolen. They have it right under their skin. What do you think about that? Is that something that you would do? I don't think I would be interested. There are a lot of different devices. Let me give you a quick synopsis of how they all work. Let's talk first about your common alarm system. You own a business or a home, and you want to secure it. Back in the 1980s, 90s, and 2000, when I had multiple security offices, I also had an alarm company. And so back then, the gig was that you could buy a whole system in a box at our vendors for about $40, and you would give the equipment away. It wasn't about the equipment. It wasn't about making money off the equipment. It was about the monitoring of the equipment. So you would give them two contacts, one for the front door and one for the back door, a siren, a wall panel, and if they were lucky, a motion sensor. Now, there are several types of motion sensors, but in general, the new ones today, you can set them for a certain height from the floor so that your animal can pass through it without setting off that motion sensor. There are heat sensors. There are several different types of sensors out there. Really, if you're going to have a security system, number one, you can't just contact the doors and leave the windows uncontacted. So you want to make sure that all access points, windows, doors, even the roof is well secured. Those contacts are metal. So what happens is when they are disrupted, the door opens and it pulls the contacts apart while the system is set, it triggers a break in the circuit. Alarm systems operate on what's called a complete circuit, a closed circuit. So picture this. There are 10 pieces of equipment tied into your alarm system. Contacts for every window, motion sensor, a glass break, which listens for the decibels and the frequency of glass breaking. It might not always be glass that's breaking, but it's going to set off that alarm. And it's all tied in together in one complete loop. When any of those pieces open, whether that someone has walked in front of a sensor, someone has opened a contacted door or window, or maybe a noise that sounds like glass, it's going to set off that alarm by sending, it opens that closed circuit, it sends a signal to your panel. Nowadays, that panel can be virtual. So remember that panel that used to go on the wall where you set your security system to be on or off, active? Well, now it's virtual. You can actually do that on your phone or computer, but that's still considered a panel. So when one of those little areas is broken, the signal is broken, it sends a signal to the panel. It looks at what's going on. Is this a malfunction? What area did that alarm come from? Is it the basement area? Is it the president's office? Is it the garage? And it sent all of that information through either a telephone line or the internet these days to the monitoring station, if there is a monitoring station that's connected. Sometimes we can also monitor our alarms through our phone. It sends us the signal and it notifies us through text, hey, you have an alarm and it's coming from the back entrance door. In the case of cameras, video cameras can be hooked up now to send you an instant link, an instant real live streaming picture of what's happening in your business or home on your cell phone. And this is really great because now you don't have to wonder what's happening. You can actually observe it for real. The bottom line here is all of this occurs when a signal is broken among that equipment. If you don't have the proper equipment in your business or home, your business or home will not be properly protected. If you are a Private Officer International member, guess what? We have experts, literally, here on staff. If you have questions about your alarm system, contact them, helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Today, there is what's called a smart system. That smart system is connected to your thermostats, your security panel, your solar panel, your electronic window blinds, your door locks, even your little animal door can all be controlled by your smart system on your phone. Everything can be electronically controlled. If you want to turn the temperature in the house up, you can control it on your smartphone. If you want to turn it down, you want to turn the lights on before you come in late at night, you can do that. It's all through a smart system, the same system that's now connected to your electronic security system. Like I said, there are a lot of technological advances in recent years, and electronic security today is nothing like it was just 5 or 10 years ago. Very quickly, I want to go over a couple of other things about why we have so many false alarms. As a security officer, a school campus officer, a police officer, you have probably responded to more than your share of false alarms. There are a lot of reasons why alarms malfunction, but some of the top reasons are really simple to understand. The top reason why alarms go off across the country, according to the National Burglar Alarm Association, is user error. We also have weather that can cause alarms to go off. How can the weather cause? Well, if your door is loose just a little bit and it's a windy night, it can blow that door far enough apart, just a little crack where the metal contacts separate. and that will activate the alarm. Wind can also rattle a window. It can rattle the building sometimes, and that will set off an alarm. Other reasons why alarms go off are animals, and it doesn't have to be a pet. If we're talking about a commercial location, rats, raccoons, mice, skunks, all sorts of varmints can get in and set off your system. They may be in the ceiling. They may be in an open area between the roof and, you know, the first floor. They could be in the walls. They oftentimes animals do chew on wiring, and that will set off that alarm. Air movement can set off a motion detector. If you have a motion detector close to a vent, an air vent, and the AC or the heat kicks on, a force coming out, a forceful air coming out will set off that motion sensor. So you may have to either move, relocate that sensor, or just disconnect it altogether. In our homes, cooking, smoking, steam, construction, weather, customer error, and poor maintenance are all reasons for false alarms. Did you know that false alarms in America cost $2.1 billion every year? 57 million false alarms went off in 2012. It ties up police, it ties up fire departments, and it causes a lot of problems. A lot of areas have recently gone to what's called verified response only. They have an ordinance within their town or city that says, if you don't have verification of the alarm, we don't have to respond. This is not a crime in progress. This is actually just a physical alert that an electronic device has gone off, and police agencies, hundreds of them across the country, do not respond to activated alarms without verification. There are four basic ways of verification. The owner, many alarm systems now, the monitoring station will call the owner at home or at the business. Hey, Miss Jones, your alarm's going off. Is everything okay? Oh, yes, yes. Or no, they just broke in. They just give me the police, send the police. And so they will respond because this is now a verified alarm. A second way is through video or audio confirmation. Many, 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 many moons ago, one of the most basic ways to verify whether or not this was an actual burglary was through audio. A company would install microphones throughout the business or home, and when that system was broken, that current was broken, it would also activate the audio, and they would be able to listen in, the monitoring station or the police, and hear voices, footsteps, and know that it actually was a burglary. So that's, you know, these days they do that by video, confirming it through video, but that is a verified alarm. So yes, police will respond. Many alarm companies contract or subcontract service to private security. So what they do is key holders go out and they verify if there's any access, any broken windows or doors, if someone has come in. And the fourth way is through what's called third-party observations. So someone has seen something, your neighbor. Hey, 911, yeah, somebody's breaking in my neighbor's house. I just saw a kid go through the window, break the window, and they just went in. That is verified. According to statistics, we just talked about audible microphones. Sonatrol was the name of that company that started back in the 60s and 70s. They're still around. According to a survey in Utah, Salt Lake City, police responded and got to the scene within 8 minutes if it was verified through Sonatrol alarms. If it was verified through a private security officer, police would arrive within 17 minutes. If it was unverified, police would arrive in 45 minutes to non-verified alarms. And the average alarm response by police across the country is 1 hour and 11 minutes. That's 71 minutes that the burglar has an opportunity to come in and take everything he wants, even stop and have a sandwich. And he would never be captured because police wouldn't be there. Now, in smaller rural areas and places where not much is happening, yes, they will get there quicker because there's nothing else to do. So they'll be there, Johnny on the spot. Private security companies have a big opportunity to grow their business by becoming alarm responders. Check your community and see what's required. Did you know that most cities, towns, counties in the U.S. require that the user, industrial, business, or residents have a permit? You have to go online in most cases and register your alarm, fill out the key holder information, let them know who to contact in case they do have to respond to your home and no one's there and the door's open or it's been broken into. But it is a law, and you can also be fined after a certain number of false alarms. The alarm systems, the electronic security industry, the technology of today are all part of the physical security that we deal with. And I don't know why so many security companies have backed away from being more active and making that a larger part of their company. I, for one, made that part of my company within the first year. My first year in business, we had completely marked patrol cars. And that was a benefit. At that time, we only charged $25 a response. Now some places are charging $50 a response. Think of this. You got 10 alarm activations from your clients tonight. That's $500 in your pocket. What is the expense? You already have that marked patrol car on the road. You already have that man on duty. Why not put them to work? Why not give them something to do? Why not make some extra income? $500, that's a minimum per night. 7 nights a week, that's an easy extra $3,000, $4,000, even $5,000 a week. I mentioned a few times on the radio show, there was a company in Mobile, Alabama. They specifically were in business to do nothing but respond to alarm calls. They'd have 3 or 4 patrol cars around the clock, day and night, on the road, in different sectors, and as soon as an alarm activated of their clients, they were Johnny on the spot, and that's how they made their money and their business. Think about it. Learn more about electronic security. Contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com if you're a POI member. Otherwise, we do have an online course that really will go further in depth about how alarm systems work, how you can be actively engaged and involved in a entrepreneurial aspect, and a whole lot more. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. And by the way, we've got 550 episodes almost in the book at this point. It's amazing. If you're not a member, be sure to go to our website at privateofficer.org and sign up today. Breaking news, you want to check it out? privateofficer.org. We'll send it to you right there in your email. Until the next time, be safe, be blessed, and we'll see you back here on the radio.